was actually a thematic presentation of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. So we're going to read verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1. Those that have found it, say, I've got it now, Pastor. I apologize again. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You're being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And the people of God say amen. Amen. I want to teach from the topic. Let's make sure the topic is right. Amen. I got that right. I want to preach from the topic, a celebration for our salvation. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father God, we are so grateful for today. Lord, what a joy it is to be in this most holy place with these wonderful people of faith as we continually invoke your presence. Father God, you have proven to be faithful to us, which makes it easy for us to celebrate you. So now, Lord God, I pray that you would give us intelligent attention to this, your word in 1 Peter, that you would clear us and just purge us of everything that would distract or detach us from this moment. Help us, Lord God, to not be distracted by personality or technology. But Father God, may we give focus upon you and your word. Lord, settle our spirits even now. Even now, Lord God. We give you glory, praise, and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much, ushers, for all that you do. A celebration for our salvation. What we typically do at the beginning of the message is we offer up what's called a message moment, which allows us to have something that we can hold on to upon departing. So we'll know it, at least the essence, the theme of what Pastor preached about on today. Here's our message moment. God's gift of salvation is to be appreciated and celebrated daily. God's gift of salvation is to be appreciated and celebrated daily. Our Spiritually Fit series has done a few things to give us what we call a spiritual checkup. Let us review. First message, we established that every believer is in progress. Everybody say progress. Which helps me to understand, yeah, man, I know that I don't do some of the stuff I used to do, but I ain't where I want to be. And so I'm still a work in progress. Lord, it's working on me, perfecting and purging of the stuff in me that doesn't look like him. Secondly, we establish that every believer must produce fruit. You can claim to be anything, but if there is not spiritual fruit manifested in your life, then maybe you're just talking the talk. Because every believer, authentic believer, produces fruit. Thirdly, every believer must dwell on the good. Which means, listen, at the very least, believers ought to be positive. I'm preaching to myself. At the very least, Christians ought to be positive. We don't want to be like the world who is cynical and focusing on the things that are wrong and the ungodly. We want to focus on the things which are true, that are noble, that are good. It doesn't mean we stick our heads in the sand. It means that we choose to filter our vision through the things of God. Somebody say, dwell on the good. Next, we discuss that every believer must have encounters with God. Every believer must have encounters with God. And that's what we dealt with, fighting for the power, fighting for prayer. Encounters with God through prayer is how we tap into the power. Jesus said, listen, this kind will not be addressed if you don't pray about it. And there are some this kinds in your life you've been trying to negotiate, you've been trying to will yourself out of, but they ain't going nowhere until you get on your knees and consistently, passionately, fervently talk to the Lord about it. I think I got some witnesses right there. Some things you try to do on your own that didn't happen until you started praying about it. And today we're going to examine the last segment in this series. Every believer must recall and share their salvation. So I want to go in. We're celebrating our salvation, not just for celebration's sake, but so that you'd be reminded of what the Lord did for you, and as a consequence, you tell somebody else. I need a witness right here. We're approaching resurrection season, and if you don't have the unction, the gumption, the desire, the will to tell someone what the Lord has done for you, then shame on you. Because when I check my account, he's been too good for me not to tell somebody. I'm getting ahead of myself. So today we're dealing with a celebration for our salvation. A man was having his portrait painted by a very famous and successful artist. I mean, this guy was well sought. He was critically acclaimed. He was the bomb. When the portrait was finished, it was unveiled to the public. The man was most unhappy with the artist's rendering of his portrait. So when asked whether or not he liked it, he replied, "You know, I don't think it does me justice." To which the artist responded, "Sir, have you looked at yourself? It's not justice you need, but mercy." See, justice is getting what is deserved. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And at the end of the day, we all need more mercy than we need justice. I don't know about you, but when they roll the tape of my life, very likely the evidence will prove that what they said about me was true. And at that very moment when I'm recognizing that I'm guilty as charged, that's when I will cry out for mercy. That's why Peter opens up, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy." But I'm convinced I'm not by myself, that there's somebody under the sound of my voice who can testify that were it not for the mercy of God in my life, I don't know where I would be. The psalmist declared, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Those who have been purchased, those who have been saved, those who have experienced mercy, you ought to open up your mouth and declare it is so. Oh, God. Somebody say mercy. I don't know about y'all, but I need mercy. I need mercy. I don't need what I deserve. If I get what I deserve or have gotten what I deserve, they'll take me right out. But thanks be to God
that he is a God not only of justice, but a God of mercy. Mercy sent his son to earth. Mercy held him on that cross. Mercy kept him in the tomb until the third day. And mercy got him up with all power. Oh, God, in his hands. Anybody need a little more mercy today? I just want to tarry just a little while. Just play the tape of last week. Some of y'all can play it from last night, but play the tape and then cry out mercy. God, don't give me what I deserve. Don't let me get the punishment that is due me. Mercy, mercy, mercy. So Paul is writing this letter. Paul is writing this letter to the believers scattered throughout these five Roman provinces of the peninsula of Asia Minor. It is where we call modern-day Turkey. And so he's writing this letter to these Jewish and Gentile Christians, these newly converted Christians. And the reason he is writing this letter to them, this is an open letter that would have been carried to all of the churches in all these places. The reason he is writing to them is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. But listen, he wants them to understand that y'all are going to be facing some persecution. You're going to be facing some pain. You're going to be facing some difficulty. And I'm writing this letter just so that you would stand firm in your faith. Oh, somebody say, stand firm.
Stand firm.
It is written so that you would be able to withstand the persecution that is coming. So this letter develops a thematic focus so that Christians then and now would understand how we are to live in the midst of a non-Christian society. See, he wants us to understand you don't have to fit in to everything where everybody is squeezing themselves into. Peter is declaring, I want you to stand so that other folks would know whose side you're on. Peter, this famous apostle, we'll call Peter the apostle of hope. They call Paul the apostle of faith. They call John the apostle of love. Why? Based upon the content of their letters. And so with Peter being the apostle of hope, he is trying to infuse his hope to these smaller churches scattered throughout the Roman Peninsula. He wanted them to understand, yes, they're going to talk about you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to ridicule your beliefs. They're going to say that you're crazy. You come into church every Sunday. Some of y'all coming on Wednesday. You wearing t-shirts. You're teaching Bible study. They're going to call you foolish. And when they call you what they call you, you just point to the mercy of the Lord. When they call you what they call you, you just let them know, that's all right, but I'm a child of the King. Look at your neighbor and say, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Stop slacking back, but stand firm. So verse 2 actually gives us our intro into our message. He says in verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of, I can't hold my peace, the blood of Jesus. Help me, Lord. See, when we examine the powerful work of the triune Godhead within the life of every believer, we can't help but to shout. When you examine what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three and one, did for you, you can't help but to shout. Let me remind you, the first thing he says is, you have been chosen by the Father. I want you to get that down. You're going to forget that. Somebody say, chosen by the Father. He says right there in the text, he foreknew you. Listen, God knew Stephen Brown before Stephen Brown came into existence. And as a consequence, because of his foreknowledge, he made preparation that I would ultimately walk into. But he didn't just do it for me. Look at your neighbor and say, he did it for you too. And see, the fact that we have been chosen by God, it helps me to understand, watch this, that I'm not a mistake. Oh, God, I need a witness right there. I've made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake. I've been chosen. Oh, I need a witness up in here. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I've been set apart for the works of God. I'm trying to get you to celebrate your own salvation. Somebody say, I'm chosen. That's your next t-shirt. I'm chosen. Not only chosen by the Father, secondly, purchased by the Son. Oh, God, help me up in here. See, you got to understand that Jesus' death was essentially a transaction. It was a spiritual transaction where the currency of Christ paid the indebtedness that you couldn't pay. And what was that currency of Christ? It was his blood. Oh, God, I need a witness up in here. He says, sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. He brought in some Levitical references, but the bottom line is, you've been washed and purchased by the... I need some blood-washed folk to raise their hands up in here. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the... I need a witness up in here. What can make me whole? Somebody say chosen. Somebody say purchased. Here's the last one. I like this. Sealed and sanctified. Oh, God, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. Sealed. You understand, the Holy Spirit seals your salvation. See, something that is sealed, oh, God, cannot be broken. You're set. You're protected. And in the same manner that Nicholas Brown can't do anything to stop being my son, you can't do anything to stop being God's child. I need a witness up in here. Your salvation is sealed. But not just sealed, sanctified. Ooh, he says it right in the text, sanctified, made holy, made holy. Right, and I know what you're thinking, Pastor Brown, ain't nothing sanctified about me. I thought I had a bigger laugh right there. They laughing over there, they got it. Ain't nothing sanctified. I'm working on it, Pastor Brown, but I need a little more help sometimes. Am I by myself? Need a little more help sometimes. Sometimes I think I've made some progress, bro, and then somebody do something, just get on my nerve, and I realize I ain't as far along as I thought it was. Dr. William, they just do some stuff, and I thought, woo! And that I used to do, I don't do no more, but I sure want to. You just want to. But there is a sanctification process that the Holy Spirit is working on the children of God. Because you can't do it in your own strength. My older brother Terry, he was going to be registered, true story, for pre-K. And he got to this big building with our mom, and he was already a bit uncomfortable. So here this little fella is walking in with my mom. He said, Mama, what is this place? And I said, baby, this is your new school. And he kept walking. He said, okay. Well, why are we here? He says, well, Terry, you've got to get an education. We're here so you can get an education. So they walked into the building. After a series of introductions and forms filled out and a couple of meetings of some teachers and all that, they headed back to the car. And as they're walking back to the car, Terry is looking real confused. They said, Mama, she said, what's wrong, baby? I think we forgot something. She said, what, my purse? What? No, Mama, we forgot my education. See, Terry perceived something to be instantaneous that actually would take place over time. Oh, come here, child of God. That's what being sanctified is about. It doesn't happen instantaneous, but over time, the things you used to do, you get further and further apart. Why? Because the Spirit is pulling you into heights unimaginable. Is there a witness in the house that can testify, yeah, I used to do it, but I don't do it no more. I ain't got no help up in here. I don't cuss like I used to. I don't drink like I used to. I don't go around like I used to. It's a grace gift. It's a mercy gift. Help me, Holy Spirit. Chosen by the Father. Purchased by the Son. Sealed, sanctified by the Spirit. So Peter is, he wants this young church to be encouraged. He wants us to be encouraged based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then he wants us to walk confidently through our trials. See, what happens to us, y'all look at me, what happens to us, we're under the false conclusion that being a believer means no trials. That being a Christian means I'm going to have all the money I need and want. I ain't going to have no problems, job, marriage, or otherwise. And if I do have a problem, I'll just snap my finger and God will make it right. That's not how any of this works. And as a result, listen, Peter said, listen, I want you to have confidence through trials and through difficulty, knowing that there is still more to come. Look at verse 3, if you will. He opens up again. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The first thing we see, watch this, is that, y'all, we have a great salvation. Oh, please write that down. A great salvation. So the response to the great salvation, watch this, is to thank him. You hear me, Sister Fanny? Just to thank him. You see, I know many of you, if not most of you, are believers. I get it. You're saved. But when was the last time you thanked him? For saving you. I know you thank him for waking you up this morning. Thank you for keeping in your right mind. Thank you for putting food on your table. Thank you for all that he's done in his provisions. But when was the last time you thanked him for saving you? So Peter is like, listen, bless him. Praise him. Honor him. Because of what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us, watch this, new birth and a living hope. Get ready to write. We have hope down here because of our new life, new home, new protection up there. Oh, I feel this by myself. Now, there are some terms he's using in verses 3 and 4. One of the key terms is new birth. Your translation may say born again. It is a direct reference of John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3 is where Jesus is having this conversation with his night caller, Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and begins to inquire about Jesus' teaching. And so Jesus says to him, listen, man, I hear you coming to me. I hear you acknowledge me as a teacher, but the bottom line says, Jesus in John 3:3, truly I tell you. Yeah. King James said, you must be born again. Yeah. Christian Standard says, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what's happening in this first movement is we are rejoicing and thankful for the great salvation that we have experienced. And that salvation then opens up the door
to some unusual blessings. He talks about hope. Somebody say hope. That's the nature of Peter's writing. He's talking about a hope that we have now. See, right now you may be going through something, and whatever you're going through, if we're not careful, we will allow circumstances to eclipse the greatness of God. We will allow the trials and difficulties to eclipse the goodness of God. Whenever you focus more on your problem than you do on your problem solver, you're missing out on your shout. But see, I've learned how to look at my problems and then look at my God and just chuckle. Because I don't know how he's going to do it, but because he's faithful, I know that he can. He says, watch this. He says he's given us a living inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Yeah. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that inheritance that is unfading, that is undefiled, kept in heaven, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there in heaven interceding for us. And let me tell you something about our inheritance. Whatever God has purposed and reserved for you will not see spot or blemish. So that's why I love serving the Lord. Because I'm investing down here to reap a reward up there. Now that's not why I do it, but because I do it, I can count on a reward. So our inheritance is protected. But not only is our inheritance protected, we as heirs are protected. He says not only is what you're investing down here being protected, but watch this, you also yourself are being guarded, protected. Salvation depends upon Christ's work for us, while our rewards in heaven depend upon our work for Christ. And so I'm so excited that I've been saved to do good works. I've been saved to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Somebody say a great salvation. Come on, say a great salvation. Not only a great salvation, secondly, a great joy. A great joy. A great joy. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, you rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody say a great joy. Our response to that great joy, watch this, is to praise him. Oh God. Is to praise him. He said very clear, listen, you're going to rejoice even though you're going through, because whatever you're going through is perfecting you, and it's going to result, watch this, in your praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Get ready to write. We go through to be made whole. This principle is taken from James, from, of course, 1 Peter. And the principle is this: the Lord uses trials and tests to develop us. I know you wish, oh God, I wish you would just use the good times. No, he has to pepper your good life with some bad stuff. So every now and then you're going to get sick. Every now and then you're going to lose a loved one. Every now and then there's going to be some situations in your interpersonal relationships that are just messed up. And watch this. All of those circumstances are perfecting you, are growing you. Don't shun the pain and frustration in your life. Why? Because the Lord is using it right in the text to get a better praise out of your mouth. He's trying to get a greater praise. See, it's a greater joy, but he's trying to get
a greater praise? How am I going to get a greater praise out of a trial? Because when he takes you through the fire and the trial and the difficulty, and when you come out on the other side, and you haven't been burned, you ain't got no smoke residue on you, you don't look like what you've been through, then you'll be able to lift up your hands and give God your best praise. I wish there was about 25 of y'all that have been through some stuff that's not ashamed to open up your mouth for the Lord, that's not ashamed to give God the praise.
So I made a note here, brother. I made a note here. Trials do to faith what fire does to gold. They purify it and show it to be what it really is. See, the Lord, he don't really know what he knows, but he wants you to know what you're really made of. And so he has to take you through some sicknesses, Steve Brown. He gotta take you through some loss of some loved ones. You gotta lose your granny on this side, and then you gotta go through some sickness with some parents on the other side. Then your wife gotta lose her job on this side, because Stephen, if I just gave you days of joy, you wouldn't appreciate me fully. So Stephen, I'm taking you through the fire. I'm not mad at you. It's not that I don't love you, but I'm trying to get a greater praise. Is there a witness in the house that's not ashamed to give God a little praise? I don't care who's looking at you right now, but I'm going to open up my mouth. I'm going to throw my head back, and I'm going to shout glory. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Y'all sit down. I ain't finished yet. Hold on. I'm almost finished. Stay with me. So we have a great salvation. Somebody say thank him. We have a great joy. Somebody say praise him. But he finishes this movement in verses 8 and 9. Stay with me here. Verses 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of, hallelujah, your souls. Y'all, we have a great salvation. We have a great joy. But thirdly, we have a great Savior. Oh, I thought I had a bigger shout right there. What is your response to this great Savior? Well, according to the verses 8 and 9, you ought to trust him. I mean, you ought to trust him with everything that you got. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor Brown, how can I trust in whom I've never seen? When I first started, we call it talking to Nicole. We were introduced by a mentor, and I kind of knew of her, but not really. And so I literally, watch this, fell in love with her over the phone. Well, y'all got to help me with this. Y'all got to feel this. We weren't going on dates. We weren't hanging out. Why? Because she was in Houston and I was in Dallas. So I literally fell in love with her over the phone. Oh, I feel that by myself. I need you to understand, I wasn't looking at her, didn't see her. I couldn't hold her hand. I couldn't even give her a kiss, because that was 300 miles separating us. But while we talked on the phone, I told her how I felt about it. And with every conversation, my confidence got greater. Every time I talked to her, I loved her even more. I still ain't seen her yet. Oh, y'all ain't feeling me up in here. But by talking to her on the phone,
Something happened on the inside that developed a love on the outside. See, here's what I want you to see this. We don't have to see him to trust him. Woo, God. Is there a witness in the house that loves the Lord on today? You love him with your whole heart. As a matter of fact, he saved your soul. The song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply, come on, help me, stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters. He lifted me. Now say, is there a witness in the house that can testify that he saved my soul, that he made me whole, that he cleaned me up? Oh, bless his name today. Hey, hey, glory. Come on and bless him. 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 Hey. Song says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul just cries, hallelujah. And that's what I want us to celebrate today. Celebrate the fact that he saved us. Celebrate the fact that he redeemed us. Celebrate the fact that he loves us so. If you would just stand with me right where you are, if you're able. I just want to pray for you that you have a greater appreciation for what the Lord has done for you. I honked off a whole bunch of this, but the bottom line is this. Verses 8 and 9 helped me to see. I don't have to see him to trust him. But I know that in the end, I'm saved. I'm saved. I may not be where I need to be. I'm a work in progress, but I'm saved. You can wake me up at 3 in the morning and ask me my name. I may be confused. But if you wake me up at 3 in the morning and ask me, am I saved? I'm going to say, yes, I've been saved by a risen Savior. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we've reached this moment in our worship where we are reflecting on your word, reflecting on the power of your presence, reflecting on the love of a heavenly Father who sent his one and only Son that we would be born again. And Father, we are so grateful for the gift of salvation, for the mercy you displayed in all of our lives. Father, we don't take it for granted. And even though we got to go through some stuff as the early church went through some stuff, Father, help us to never lose sight, to never lose sight of why we're going through it. Oh God, we're grateful for the challenges that we face because we understand now that they are perfecting us. Lord, all the stuff that seems so ridiculous, Lord, it actually has a plan. And Lord, we trust you and your plan. So, Father, I'm praying now for those who have already received this wonderful free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. But, Lord, I'm also praying for that man, woman, boy, or girl, that individual that's never made a profession of faith, never made a decision to receive this gift. And, Father, I'm asking that your Spirit would touch their hearts right now. Father, I want them to shout and praise you with me because of what you've done for all of us. And Lord, I know that you would not have any to perish. So Lord, in faith, I ask that you would touch the hearts of those who are here. Help them, Lord God, to let down their guard and to trust in their God. Please, Lord, move by your presence and your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray.